Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour, time that we have set aside to study the Word of God, to expound on the Word of God, to hear what God has to say to us through His Holy Spirit on tonight. It's a time when we study the Word and we could see the hand of God and we could see God and who He is and see the evidences, what He is and how He does and what He's going to do and what He has done in the lives of the people that He created. Now is the time we come together in fellowship one with another, the body of Christ. We come together, believers, expounding on the Word of God together tonight. And I would like to thank God for this opportunity, for allowing me to come before the people of God. I would like to thank each and every one of you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to come in fellowship with one another. I thank the Holy Spirit that He's going to use me to be a vessel for Him to illuminate and revelate the Word of God, which is the truth on tonight. I'm Diane Adams, your host, and you have tuned in to Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. It is now the 8:30 hour. And as always, we play a song. But I want you to know the title of our lesson tonight is Love is What Love Does. Love is what love does. And we come in from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And when we come back, we're going to go to God's throne of grace. I see one of the buttons has been pressed on the phone, and I'll check after the song to see, it's Minister Paula Cloud's number, and see if she would like to lead us to the throne of grace. So I'm going to play this song, and after the song, we're going to come back, go to the throne, and then we're going to expound on the Word.
To dream of the big stage, couldn't wait to see my name in lights. I had a dream so big, made a mountain look small, couldn't wait till I had it all. Closer I get, the more distant I feel, the more I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. Suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts, and I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, find a love you know is real. Once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul bleed. Once in a lifetime, find a friendship that's worth the wait. And once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. I used to think that it was the trophies on my wall. Thought if I'd won, then I'd have it all. And I couldn't wait till everybody knew my name. I had my own ideas of fame. Closer I get, the more distant I feel, the more that I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. And suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, you find a love you can't let go. And once in a lifetime, you find a purpose to live on. Once in a lifetime, you find the meaning of your dreams. And once in a lifetime, you find the one who gives life meaning. Once in a lifetime, you find the love you know is real. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul live. Once in a lifetime, you find a friendship that's worth the wait. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. Oh, once in a lifetime, I found the best thing I know. Once in a lifetime, there's no sign of letting go. I know what I found is true. Though I've searched in every place to find the thing that makes life complete, now I know, Lord, that thing is you.
Praise God, praise God. Minister Paula Cloud.
What the fuck is my motherfucking
Paula... Well, I couldn't get a mic clear. One moment.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we... Yeah, I could hear you.
Okay. All right, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, sweet Holy Spirit, we come before you as humble as we know how on tonight, Father God, to hear a word from on high. Oh, Father God, we say thank you before you we ask you for anything. We thank you, Father God, that this night is coming to a close, but Lord, we know that you have your loving arms of protection all around us. Lord, we thank you for everything that's going on, because nothing catches you by surprise. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the healing in the land. Father God, we thank you that you're omnipresent. You're here, you're there, and you're everywhere all at the same time. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We cast down the spirit of God all over this the United States of America. Lord, we need you now more than we ever needed you before. Lord, you said if my people shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then when you hear the name, Lord, we come in humble as we know how. Lord, we need you. Father God, we need you. There's suicide going rampant. There's murder going rampant in the land. Mothers against daughters and sons against fathers. Oh, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need a healing in this land right now. Oh, Father God, as the woman of God go forward with the word, use her mightily, Father God, so she could give your message to other people that they could go out and share with others. Oh, Father God, don't let the message fall on deaf ears. Lord, let us go out in the highways, the edges, and the byways and tell somebody about somebody that could save anybody. Lord, we're going to be careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for everything you do, you're doing, and you're going to do in our lives on today, tomorrow, and yesterday. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We thank you in advance. It is in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Paula. Thank you for standing in the gap and bringing us to the throne of grace. Thank you so much. The song has been played and the prayers has gone up. And now it's time for us to explore the Word of God, study the Word of God. I realized that I can only give information, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives illumination and revelation. And I'm going to set a title because more people has come on the line. The title tonight is Love is What Love Does. 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 13. I'm going to do a little background intro, and then we're going to get into the scriptures. I want everyone to know that we live in a world that is full of hatred and evil. Hate is surrounding on every side and around every corner, and evil is attached to its back. There has to be hate to perform evil. Hallelujah. You see, the virus has our attention on lockdown, but there are many things that the Bible said would happen. You see, if we visit 2 Timothy chapter 13, the Bible says that in perilous times, they will come. You see, we're living in perilous times. In addition to the virus, we have wars, other diseases, strong storms, earthquakes, fires. Our children are killing each other. And our babies are being killed daily by adults and sometimes by the hands of their own town. Civil unrest is on all levels. And I could keep talking for an hour and won't complete all of the issues of life, the adversities, trials, and tribulations that's in the land and going on. And I'm not going to say day by day or month by month or year by year. I'm going to say every second there is something that is going on. You see, this is a dangerous world we're living in because it's controlled by the God with a little g, the little g God, Satan of this world, which standards are controlled by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. See, that's the standards that the world lives by. And Satan is trying to do everything in his limited power to get even the believers to participate in the world standards. But I come to tell you tonight that we are the children of God. And if you are a child of God and you are in this world, the Bible says we're not of this world. And I want you to know that we are living in the kingdom of God here on earth. You see, we believers have a job to do. A job we must do. Because we must not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It was God's desire that his children would be a light, and we would let our light so shine that men could see the work and glorify the Father and decide to come on God's side. See how God is operating in our lives, and we would be able to change the world. Oh, but as it appears now, the world is changing. The children of God. Too much faith is being compromised. You can't serve two masters because either you're going to love one and hate the other. Commercialism is getting into the church building. Everything and anything seems to go anywhere, conforming to the world instead of the world being transformed by the power of God. You see, the true cause of most of our problems is evil, and the evil is being done by those that are walking in darkness. You see, I looked at 2 Corinthians 2:3 and 4, and it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God, little g, of this world has blinded their minds, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, people are walking around with veils on their face. Our young men walk in the street, robbing, killing, going in grocery store and walking out as if they own the store. We see it on TV, dear God, doing anything and everything that seems right in their own eyes. They have blinders on. And Satan has blinded their eyes and allowed them only to see darkness. And as I said earlier, we have a job to do to help remove the veil from their eyes so they could see the glorious light of the Lord. And they might say, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah, y'all. We have a job to do because love is what love does. And just loving the world that God created and loving the assignment that he has given us to do would be doing what love does. The Bible said that men would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, blasphemers, slanderous, not hearty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Can you see that, y'all? And if this is what I'm saying is true, you could realize that God already knew how the world was going to be in this time. And he never wanted to keep his children in the dark. And it's listed in the Word of God, if you check it out. What I just read is a pure, crystal clear picture of how the world is being operated today. But he also gave a solution, because if we trust in the Lord with our whole heart and lean not to our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge him, even though we in this world, we not of this world, he will direct our path. And then if we look at Matthew 24:6, it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, this is Jesus talking, y'all. This is Jesus himself talking. And he was telling us before he went back to be with the right hand of the Father, giving us heads up, y'all, letting us know how serious the work that we have to do, and how we should keep ourselves connected with God, and how we should hold on to the confession of our faith, and how we should hold on to the bloodstained banner. Jesus said in Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes and divers places. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. It is often said that love makes the world go round, but it appears that pure hatred is in charge. Jesus is coming back, y'all, for a church without a spot and blemish. This is our preparation place, preparing us for our heavenly home. And when we look at this world we live in and try to figure out what to do, I come to tell you tonight, we don't need new laws. There's laws on the book. Nobody's following the law. The president's breaking the law, the vice presidents, the mayors, the governors, the judges, the sheriffs, the police. Everybody is breaking the laws that has already been established. So that should let us know we don't need no new laws. We need more love. And love is what love does. And I'm going to the scripture at this time. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And the scripture reads, if I speak in a tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clangling cymbal. Y'all know anybody like that? Talking loud, saying nothing. Because they talk don't fit their walk, or their walk is not fitting their tuck. They talk. Verse 2, and if I have poetic powers, prophetic powers, and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. It goes on to say in 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The word of God, y'all. It's not Diane, it's the word of God. Love is necessary. See, Paul is letting us know that no matter what you do, you might sing in a choir. You might have all of these gifts he was talking about. No matter what you do or who you are, if love is not the driving force, it profits nothing. Talking loud and saying nothing. Walking a walk. Or just talking a talk. You see, love must be infused in all of our spiritual gifts that has been given us to us if they're going to be effective. You know, everybody could speak. Everybody could say a good word. Many people could teach. Many people could sing. But if there's no love, it's not profitable. Talking loud and saying nothing. You see, I believe that everyone loves somebody. Let's get that straight. But can they extend that love towards everybody? And you see, many people love the only way they know how to love. A lot of people don't really, truly, truly understand what real love is. And you'll never know what it is until you understand who your maker is. And then so many people who don't know who their maker is don't really love themselves. And that's why they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's the problem. You need a foundation of love and understanding. And the only way to get a foundation of true, pure love is to study the word of God. See, God is the epitome of love. You see, if you only love those who do things for you, or only those that love you, you have no reward because the unsaved people love that way. Come on now. People on the street, they look out for each other. You know, they buy a bottle of wine, they pass it to each other. If they know about something, they tell each other. They set together when it's cold to try to keep warm. If they're hanging out in the street. The unsaved people, the way they love, is it the way that you love? Or sometimes does the unsaved people love better than you? You see, people pick and choose who they want to love. But that's not the way God intended it to be. Love is one of the primary characteristics of God. Likewise, God has endowed us with the capacity to love since we are created in his image. And you must remember, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit, when he got indwelled in you, brought with him is love. That's why I like to say we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. God has done his part. God has endowed us with the capacity to truly love one another. But we have to choose. We have to stop living in a bubble, not concerned about no one or nobody. And everything that God has given us, our gifts and talents, is for the common good. When we could get the common good concept in our head, which is delivered by love for the common good, this world would be a better place. It would be a better place, y'all. Everything that God wants is for everybody to be everything they can to everybody. And anybody, stop picking and choosing. Stop staying in your little clique that you have. Some people, it's their family. They're only concerned about the mom and the daddy and the three children. They don't look to the left. They don't look to the right. And long as everything in that circle is all right, they all right. But that love is being channeled in that particular situation. It's not going abroad. That's not the way God intended it. You see, there's a scripture saying, we owe, I think it's Romans 13 and 8, we owe no man anything but to love one another. That's word, y'all. That's what we owe mankind. That's the common good. We owe every man but to love him. The unsaved as well as the saved. He said, but do good unto them, and especially to those in a household of faith. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, we always say that, but let me stop here a little while and talk about this a little while. You see, there were many laws, and early I say we don't need more laws. We need more love. And just as well as it was for them in the Old Testament, God gave 10 commandments. He wrote them with his finger. He wrote them on a stone and gave them to Moses. Moses gave them to the people. And then they started adding to the laws. And the Old Testament laws grew to be 613. And then when it got to the New Testament, they had these Pharisees and Sadducees. I think I'm going to talk about them a little bit tonight. They always was trying to trip Jesus up. And they was asking questions, hoping that he could give a wrong answer so they could use it against him. Because by then they wanted him dead. He was taking their spotlight. He was being honored. His name was coming up more than their names, and they didn't like it. So Jesus was teaching, and someone asked a question. He said, what is the greatest law out of the Ten Commandments? And Jesus told him, love your mother. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbors as yourself. You see, and they was dumbfounded. And some people are almost say that Jesus contradict what God had did in Mount Sinai. But that's not the case. Because if you look at the Ten Commandments, it was, thou shalt not worship graven images. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Hallelujah. That was the first four. Now watch this. If you take them first four commandments and put them on the side, all four of them, and the one that Jesus said when he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Love the Lord. That if you love God, you truly love God, you would have taken care of, number one, you wouldn't make grave images because you would understand that he's the only true and loving God. You won't take his name in vain because he is holy. You will remember the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. And you will do these things. You won't put another God before God because there is no other one like him. So those first four commandments, when Jesus condensed it to two, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. If you truly begin to love God, you would accomplish all four of those. Now let's get to us. Then God said, honor thy mother and thy father. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, meaning to lie. And thou shalt not covet it. Now look at this. We done accomplished that the one that Jesus said about God took care of the first four. So let's look at the sixth. If you really love your parents, you would honor them. And if you really love your wife or your neighbor enough, you wouldn't commit adultery. And if you loved someone, you surely wouldn't murder them. And if you loved somebody, you wouldn't steal from them. And if you love somebody, you wouldn't do false witness them and lie on them, gossip, all of that. And you will not covet. If you truly love someone, you will learn how to congratulate and not hate. You'll be glad for what they got. Because what God gave them is for them, and what God has for you is for you. And God has enough for everybody. And you could begin to congratulate and not hate. So you see, if you love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, there would be no need for the laws. And God said, if you do that, you owe no man but to love him. You would have fulfilled all the laws. That's almost like saying it's better to obey than a sacrifice. Obey, and then you don't have to go and make a sacrifice. It's just like saying in our term, just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You see, for us to understand the kind of love that Paul is talking about, we must first look at the greatest example of true love. Scripture tells us in John 3:16, God so loved the world. I'm talking about God loved the world. L-O-V-E. Love is what love does. God loved the world. So he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe it should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's love. That's pure love. That's love, y'all. God loves us more than we can love ourselves. Because even while we were yet in our sin, God came and took us in. That's love. God didn't say, I'm a love you. Like you, there's people in our lives and people we may know. I can't love them till they get it right. I can't love them because they're wilding in sin. Well, what about you? We didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And we didn't get right before God accepted us. God accepted us right where we was because of his love. Love. See, God didn't pick or choose. He said, whosoever, let him come. John in his words talk about a man, no greater love, when a man would lay down his life for his brother. I don't know too many people that do that. Most of us will be willing to do that. Most of us will never be willing to do that. But some might for their family members, like people may do it for their children. But God did it for all. He didn't pick and choose. The Bible says that the way the world loves, and if you only love the way, that way, you're only loving worldly. If you got to pick and choose who you want to love, you got to pick and choose how you're going to love this one and love that one. You're going to love this one wholeheartedly, but you're going to hold back the love on that one. And when we're talking about love, it don't mean you have to go and party with them. It doesn't mean you have to go and hug them and go to their house, and you got to extend that love, pure love towards everybody. And you see, love is going to do what love does. Yes, sometimes they may have a need, but because of the love you have for them, you're willing to help. You're willing to aid. You're willing to give. Come on, y'all. You're willing to pray for them. You're willing to give them encouragement. You're willing to give them a kind word. That's love. Not overlooking them. I'm not even concerned what's going on in their lives. Let us look at what is love. Everyone seems to believe that love is a good thing. I can't hear y'all. I know how you feel about that question, and I'm not asking you to press the button. But all of us believe love is a good thing. However, not all agree what love is. Everybody seems to believe that love is a good thing. According to the Bible, love is more than just a feeling, but it's a caring, it's caring in action. So we could take that with us tonight. Love is caring in action. And not just for those who you want, or not picking and choosing. You might hear a neighbor that just had something terrible happen, and somebody told you about it. You know, you might could just give them a call to let them know, I'm praying for you. Because love is caring in action. Love's not what we feel. Everybody associate love with feeling, but love is what we do. There are many gifts that has been given to us to carry out our purpose in kingdom building, and we may be able to do them well, but love, if love is not the center, I come to tell you tonight, you can stop faking it, trying to make it. If love is not the driving force, it will gain nothing. Whenever we do or say something, God looks at the heart. And that's why God do. You know, many relationships you was in, oh, baby, 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 I love you. There even was a movie by about Tina Turner and Ike Turner, and he told her all the time he loved her. He loved her so much he wasn't going to let her go. She left and he went got her because he said he loved her. And you see, yeah, he loved her. He loved her the way he wanted to love her. It wasn't the way she needed to be loved. Yes, he loved what he loved about her. And the title of the movie was What Love Has to Do with It. What Love's Got to Do with It. But the Bible tells us love has everything to do with everything. You see, God searches our heart to find our attitude and intent why we do things. Come on, y'all. The intent and the attitude. Are you doing it to be seen? Are you doing it to be pat on the back? The Bible says you don't have to let your left hand know what your right hand do it. God don't worry about what come out of your mouth. And you have to be careful what people tell you too. Because if they speaking that they love you and there's no evidence, you need to kind of question that. That's why God said he looks at the heart, because out of the same mouth come cursing and blessings. You see, when Cain made his sacrifice unto God, he made a sacrifice, but it must not have been given in love or given from the heart. And God didn't accept it. And that's what he'll do with what we're presenting to God, with the wrong attitude, the wrong motive and intent. Love is more important than all the spiritual gifts exercised in the body of Christ. So don't get it twisted. Great faith, acts of dedication or sacrifice, and the working of miracles produce very little without love. Love is what makes our actions and gifts useful. Sometimes you want to do something for somebody in the attitude in which you give it to them. They say, oh, that's all right. Sometimes you're always talking about what you're doing, and you might want to do something for somebody, and they don't want you to do it because they don't want it all over town. The attitude in which you're doing it. That's why God talks so much in Jesus about the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Old Testament, because they knew the law from front to back, but they didn't know how to love, and Jesus called them hypocrites. Do you know any hypocrites? Jesus is our example, is how to put our love in example. This is the reason why the scripture says, you know, in Matthew 7, it says, many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, I have prophesied in your name, and in thy name I have cast out devils, and in thy name I did many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. So that what lets us know everybody who say they accepted Christ, they didn't do it with their whole heart. They didn't do it out of love. And they were never saved. But if you did, you are saved. Then nothing could separate you from God. God told you right here in the scripture, he's going to do some separation. And many people who you think going to get there won't. And some people you don't think deserve to be there will, because God searches the heart. In verse 4 through 8, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Some people believe they loved you so much. You know, there's ways that they have established will really show it. But, you know, sometimes people only want to have their own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, and love will never end. And this is what he says. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. You see, there's going to be a time there will be no need to speak in tongues. You wouldn't need a heavenly language. You're going to be in heaven. You ain't got to prophesy what's going to come true because it's going to be fulfilled. And you're going to be in the presence of all knowledge. But love never ends. Everything else is temporal. That's why they say only what we do for Christ in love will last. Love is a selfless, not selfish, and is always concerned with the welfare of others. See, and sometimes you think you're doing things for others and you're concerned about their welfare, but you got to have your way. You got to have your way in all that you want it to be. You even, you know, sometimes people want to have their way with the way they think, you know, a relationship would go. But if one person only had their way and there's two people involved, somebody is shrinking. And we see that many times with women who say they don't know who they are. A man, once I married that lady, you know, I've gone to this church and I don't know who I am now. You see, love must be given a way to work. You must first learn to love yourself before you can love someone else. Or how can you love someone else if you never learned how to love yourself? Love is patient and kind. It manifests itself in being forbearing and having the capacity to endure difficult or trying circumstances without giving way to complaining or resistance. Why me? Or why is this happening to me? If not to you, then to who? Love give way for enduring. Love it right. Love on them right. You could endure more. What they say, love hide a multitude of sins. You truly love you. You know, you can be patient and you can wait for the other person change to come because of love. Don't give up on them because Jesus didn't give up on you. But you got to, the only way you can not give up is with love, true love, not the love you turn on and off and everything is going the way you want it to go. Love don't have nothing that causes someone to look down on others. That's not love, y'all. A loving person is not puffed up or swollen with conceit. Love don't put on airs. True love allows people to see the real you. Because who you are is who you are. Love never manifests itself in indecent, shameful, rude, or cruel ways or acts. Hallelujah. It don't do that, y'all. It really don't. A loving person look at others realizing that everybody has value and therefore is not easily provoked or irritated by their failing, you know, by someone else's shortcomings. The Bible says everybody falls short of the glory of God at one time or another. And with love in your heart, you can remember when. Remember when you was doing that? Remember when you didn't know that? Remember when you didn't love like that? Remember when you didn't help like that? Remember when you didn't give like that? Stop pointing fingers. Give the next person, because of love, chance to grow. It is not provoked or resentful, keeping tallies of hurt, either real or imagined, because some of our hurts are imagined, that one may experience on account of a thoughtlessness, word, or action of others. Somebody said one thing that twisted you, and you never forgot it, and you shut the door of love in that, on that person. If every time we mess up, if every time we don't do what we're supposed to, if God did that to us, we would be in trouble, y'all. But how are we going to have the ability and audacity to treat others that way? When love is at work, injustice, wrong, and harmful development are never a basis of rejoicing. We didn't like Donald Trump a lot, but we was careful how we talked about it. We didn't want to have him shot down in the street and things like that, because you don't rejoice in something that would be wrong. Where there's love, there's compassion. Remember that. Those who care about others do not take advantage of them in their misfortune. Through manipulation or deceit. Whatever contributes to the advancement of the things that are true, right, proper, brings joy to those who seek to be a loving person. That's the scriptures I'm going to speak on tonight, because I think we got the true picture of love and what love is all about. But I want to say this, because it came to me just now. You got to remember, some people can't love because they don't love themselves. And some people's definition of love, of how they feel love, how they was raised in a household. You know, some people say we wasn't huggy and kissy. You know, we didn't tell each other, I love you. Some men never say it, I love you, to their son. But you see, when the love of God comes in your heart, you begin to read the word of God and understand better, then you do better. And many people can only love you the way that they have experienced love. And most of the time, it's not enough for the next person. But love is a word that demands action if it's handled correctly. Love is what love does. In verse 13 in this scripture, in these scriptures, it says, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The scripture let us know how important love is. Whereas the apostle had indicated that the miraculous gifts would cease, faith, hope, and love would remain. An approved relationship with God and Christ continue to rest in faith. And the fullness of the divine promise is yet unseen. It's going to become tangible in reality, in real. But you see, fate is connected with the particular aspects that is no longer, you know, fate. Let me see how much it is. Fate in connection with that particular aspect is no longer needed. See, we ain't got to have faith when everything has become real and reality. And it's, if it's real and reality and you can see it and you're operating in it, you don't need faith. See, Jesus is coming back. See, faith and trust finds its fulfillment through sight. Hope is realized when the when that what is hoped for comes in your possession. See, we have hope. Jesus coming back for us. But when it has happened, there's no need for hope. Love is constant, y'all. This make love the greatest of the three. God is neither faith nor hope. He is love. Paul is just taking these scriptures and letting us know that love never ends. Everything else, y'all, is going to cease. And we can remember that only those things we do in love, things we do, but the things that we do in love for Christ, those are the things that's going to last. They're going to follow us in eternity. God's going to know how to use us in our heavenly home. This is our preparation place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We are here on earth being prepared for our heavenly home. What you do in love for Christ is going to follow you. And God knows what you made of and how he's going to use you in the New Jerusalem. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to give us a little word on love, you could press the button. Anybody would like to do the benediction? Anybody would like to say anything, you can at this time. Love is just a four-letter word, but it can end wars. Come on, y'all. It could turn people's life around. It could give parents the desire to take care of their children. It could tell boys on the street, man, let me not do this. It could tell the politicians, look at the money that is raised and the money that's in, the tax been paid. That's money for the betterment of all. Let's put the money in the places it belongs so the lives of the people could be better. You see, that's love. No big eyes, no little U's in most operations. That's love. Treating everybody the way you want to be treated. That's one of the simplest things there is. They call it the golden rule. And that's not trying to learn the 66 books. But if you start with that, treat everybody the way you want to be treated. And that's love. So if no one have anything that they would like to say or anything like that at this time, we could have our benediction. If someone would like to say the benediction, just press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. May the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. And I pray that God give you peace and joy until we come back on next week, if it's the Lord's will. But until then, go in peace And it is my desire that God bless each and every one of us real good. Good night, everybody, and be blessed. And go in love.